Good morning. So this morning we're reading the fifth verse on the section, ability to control your emotions. And this is Psalm chapter 39 verse 1 to 5. Last verse backwards. Alright. Vanity. So what is vanity? About vanity is when you think of yourself, well, there's a number of aspects to it, I suppose. When you think of yourself more highly than you should, you're certainly being vain. When you think of yourself as more important, you're being vain. When you think of yourself as more beautiful, you're being vain. When you think of yourself as more clever or more wise, you're being vain. So, vanity is that positioning yourself in a place that you're not there. You're not there. It's a picture that you have in your mind, but it's not the reality. Now, often people who are trying to be better, they're trying to mask themselves. And by trying to mask themselves, they are vain. And they overdo it to try and hide in plain sight, so to speak. But normally it's because there's something wrong inside. Something is wrong inside. Either you've lost your way, you've lost your compass, or you're trying to hide from something, or you've just totally lost direction because you've forgotten what life is really all about. So that is vanity, right? And so what do vain people do? They dress up, constantly looking at themselves in the mirror. They think that they're amazing. They look at themselves in the mirror and they say, "Oh, you are so amazing." And it's like they have to have a self-talk. Actually, deep down, they don't really believe it, but they constantly have to have this self-talk, right? So we go back a little bit further, right, to the beginning of that part of the verse. It says, man at his best state, at his best state, right? Man at his best state is altogether vanity. And that's a terrible thing to think. Because one of the things about vanity is that it's untrue. It's not only untrue, it's actually misleading. It's going to draw you into all the wrong things. And man at his best state is altogether vanity. It's pointless. Well, let's go back a bit further. So we need to understand how this person got to this state, right? So it says here, verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So now he's not just talking about one or two people. He's saying every single person at his best state, altogether vanity. So now you've got to ask the question, does that mean that me at my best state is altogether vanity? The answer is yes. Because if it's you alone, absolutely. If it's Jesus within you, absolutely not. But you can't be any more than the physical machine. And what's the point of that? The spirit within you is not going to make it. What's the point of having this beautiful machine or this clever machine or anything else? What is the point of doing all of those things? There is none. So we go back a bit further. Mine age is nothing before thee. So what does it mean, your age? Well, yeah, your age is a number. So however many years you are, and we know that our age is absolutely nothing compared to God, because he's been around for absolutely ever. And we haven't been around that long at all. But it's more than that, because when it says your age, you see, along with age comes wisdom. And what he's also saying is that his wisdom is nothing before God either. Go back a bit further. Behold, thou hast made my days a handbreadth. All of my days, from the moment I'm born until when I actually pass on, or translate into heaven, okay, which is what we'll do. That whole time is like a handbreadth. It's so short. Because if you take the handbreadth and you think, well, I'm going to measure around the whole globe, you know, I'm going to measure across the universe, handbreadth is absolutely nothing. Right? So with that context in mind, remember we're talking about ability to control your emotions, right? So with that context in mind, seeing how we are really, let's go back to the beginning. This is David's psalm. David is writing, right? Verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways. Ways is an important thing. It is how I'm doing things, not just physically, but also in my heart and in my speech and in my thought and in my actions. And what I do as a consequence of somebody else doing something. How do I respond? What do I do and how do I react with different people saying different things? I will watch to see who makes me really irritated and what is it that they say that irritates me. I will look to see what are the things that cause me to be angry. I will watch all the time what my ways are, because the ways that I have are how I respond and react to the spiritual world around me. So if I want to know what's really going on, I've got to watch me. I've got to watch myself. I've got to watch what it is I'm doing, saying, I'm thinking. And when it says I'll take heed, it doesn't mean to say I'll just notice it. I'm going to actually see whether or not this is acceptable. And I'm going to analyze it. I'm going to understand what it is that's really causing me to be triggered. So he says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. If you know what triggers you, right, then you'll also notice what it is that you say. And carries on. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Right. While the wicked is before me. So he's learned that the wicked trigger him. The wicked cause him to say things. The wicked cause him to feel things. The wicked cause him to do all those things. But you see, he doesn't have to let that out of his mouth. He doesn't have to let it out of his mouth. He can say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. He can say, I'm going to focus. I'm going to focus. Because it's so easy to be triggered. And if I've watched my ways and I've seen how I behave, I learn how to drive this earth suit. You know, every time you get in a vehicle, you have to be careful how you drive. You've got to learn exactly how these controls really work, because you may be used to a different vehicle. And now you've got to relearn these controls. And it's the same thing when you decide to start doing this. You start to watch carefully how your body and your mind and your thoughts respond in different situations. If you don't know how you behave and how you respond, you'll never catch yourself before you respond. Right? And so the way he does this is he says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. How do you keep your mouth with a bridle? You make a determination. You're not going to speak. You're not going to speak. You're not going to let a word out of your mouth without you having thought it through carefully. Says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And when you are amongst friends and you're just talking and you're relaxed and you're just speaking out, you need to understand that you can have the same kind of triggering thoughts and feelings and all the rest of it. And you need to take those and say, Lord, you know what? This is either a good thing or it's not a good thing, but you need to watch to see how your earth suit works. Because your earth suit is going to trip you up. If your earth suit responds in a certain way in certain circumstances, then you know next time you go into those certain circumstances, you know how to actually make sure that you get through it without compromising. Right. Verse 2. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace from good, and my sorrow was stirred. It's really, really interesting. You know, Satan cannot force you to open your mouth. If you've decided not to open your mouth, there's nothing Satan can do to cause you to open your mouth, right? But if your mouth gets opened, Satan can cause you to keep going very easily. Unless you know your ways. If you know what your ways are and you say, hang on a minute, I'm now before this person, I need to just be quiet. I don't have to give an answer. And Satan is very, very clever. Because, you see, Satan never tells you things. Satan asks questions. And then he leaves a silence there and you feel like you have to put something in that silence. No, you don't. You know, it's interesting. I was in a sales capacity at one stage. And the one thing they said is the first one who speaks buys. Silence is your friend. Now, the same thing is true here. If somebody's trying to cause you to say something and you choose not to say anything, then if they start talking, well, they're going to start talking. And you just don't have to respond. You don't have to respond. You know, even under torturous circumstances, what they say is, you know what? You give your name, your rank, and your number. And that's all you do. You don't give any more than that. You don't have to give anything more than that. And that's not your phone number, by the way. That's your force number. And that's all you give. You never have to give anything else. Well, as a Christian, what is your name? You are one with Jesus. What is your rank? Child of God. What is your force number? The blood of Jesus. You don't have a number. So if somebody does something to you, what's your response? I forgive you in the name of Jesus. If you really want to bring the message home, which is probably the best way, is I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ, who bled and died to pay for your sin 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. And then you be quiet, because the minute that your mouth has started, now Satan's going to try and get you to add something in just after you finish that. Yeah? That's all you say. And you repeat it again and again and again. Again, not going to say any more. You're not going to tell them things that they want to do so they can hurt other people. You're not going to tell them that stuff. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace from good. Why wouldn't he even talk about the good? Again, it's another tactic get somebody just to start talking. Because once again, you can be talking about something and then throw a side question in there and you answer it before you even realize that you've answered it. So if you hold your tongue even from good, you're not going to fall into that trap either. And my sorrow was stirred. So it says, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace from good, and my sorrow was stirred. It will be disquieting when you don't say things. But listen to the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. Be in tune with him. Right? Verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end. So, when his heart was hot within him, right? Now, that could be any form of excitement. Excitement because you've received an amazing gift. It could be excitement because something good has happened to somebody. It could be passionate excitement because of somebody who's around you or some other kind of passionate situation. Or it could be you've accomplished something. Now, to be measured and calm is the way that you should respond. You should never be in an excited state because excitement means that you will speak. And that's another tactic that they use, is to get you excited about something. As soon as you're excited, then throw a sentence in there. Next thing you're talking about something else and you didn't want to talk about it. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. While I was musing, I was thinking about stuff. The fire was burning inside me. Okay. So how do you get over this and through this? How do you master this, right? Well, David says here, he says, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end. Right. When you know what your end is, then you know that you can keep going. You know you can keep going because you know when your end is. Now, end is a time factor, but it's also a destination. So if you're looking at it from a time factor and you're saying, let me know when about my end, then you're going to be looking at time. Well, don't do that because you don't have any control over it. But you can have the picture of your end, which is your destination. And if your destination is heaven and you're a child of God, you have no reason whatsoever to be worried about what goes on the side of heaven. You really do not need to know that. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it. Now, I know that they have put other words in here, but the measure of my days. Well, how do you measure your days? What is your success criteria on your day? Is your success criteria that actually you managed to finish a whole big piece of work that needed to be done and you're quite pleased with yourself because you got that done? Is the measure of your day how many people you encouraged? Is the measure of your day just that you managed to get a meal? Is the measure of your day that you were able to bless somebody else around you? What is the measure of your day? And then you ask the question, what is the measure of my days? Plural. So you think about it. You say, well, you know what? My one day, I managed to help this person. Over the last month, these are the things that I've done, and that's been a measure of my days. What have I successfully managed to achieve? Now, you've got to remember something. When you're in a relationship, and it's a true love relationship, you're not even thinking that you gave somebody something. It was a beautiful thing in the moment, and you don't even think about it again, right? So when it says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, it's not talking about trying to keep a score. And that's not what it's about. It's to look back at your day and say, did I focus right? Was my focus correct? And if it's consistently not correct, obviously you need to do something about it, right? What if I may know how frail I am? How frail are you? You see, you're supposed to be frail, right? You're supposed to be frail. You're supposed to remember that this machine that you live in is really not strong enough for all the spiritual stuff that needs to be done. That stuff is supposed to be done by your spirit. It's not supposed to be done by your machine. You're supposed to engage your spirit before you engage your machine. And so you engage your spirit, your mouth is closed. You don't say anything. You don't respond with your mouth. You engage your spirit and you pray. And then if the Lord says you can open your mouth, ask before you open your mouth, saying, Lord, what can I answer? Then you answer that and you close your mouth again. And you measure this and you manage it. And the whole time you're thinking to yourself, how do I measure this day? This day that I'm in now, how am I going to measure this? When I look back, am I going to look back at this moment and say, yeah, we did it right? Or am I going to look back at this moment and say, you know what, I totally messed it up. I messed up somebody else's life. I messed up this. I messed up that. How am I going to measure my day? And then when you realize that you have totally messed up the day and a whole bunch of other people's lives, then you can say, well, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to go talk to those people and set that straight. If you can do it in the evening before you go to bed, before they go to bed, that's what you need to do. You should not try and go to sleep until you sort out your problems. If the other person doesn't want to accept any apology, that's on them. That's their problem. But you need to apologize on your side. You need to set right on your side. You need to do what you can do. If they don't accept it, that's not your problem. As far as God's concerned, you have done right. And that's a measure of your days. But again, you've got to remember that you're in a spiritual battle. Satan can do nothing unless you speak it. If you do not speak it, he can do nothing with it. So he needs to get you to say things so that he can do things. Well, if you choose to keep silent, he's got nothing to work with. So he's going to try and bring all sorts of other situations against you so that you will say something. And the primary thing he needs you to say is something that's going to cancel your prayers. Because your prayers are working. You pray something, your prayer starts to work immediately. Right? It starts to work immediately. And it's busy building into what it needs to be and it's going to manifest. Satan needs you to say something against that. Because then he can take those words that you said to God and say, he doesn't believe that you're going to give it, so you're not allowed to give it to him. Because that's the truth. If you will not have faith, God cannot give it to you. So you have to look at what you're saying. You have to. Satan's going to give you all sorts of assumptions. He's going to paint all sorts of pictures in your mind as though this is what's going to happen next. This is what's going to. You don't know that that's what's going to happen next. Where did you get it from? And if it's anything that's potentially negative, or certainly if it's anything against the prayer that you prayed, you know where it's coming from. Bridle your tongue. Just be quiet. Say nothing. And just wait to see how God's going to work. You've given it to God to sort out. Focus on something else. Leave it to the side. Don't try and force it. Leave it to the side. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Carrying on. Behold, thou hast made my days a handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state, altogether vanity. I think there's a theme that is coming through a lot to Christians. And that is, God is so much bigger than you ever, ever, ever imagined. And so much greater than you could ever, 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 ever conceive. But he will let you put him in a matchbox and put him on the mantelpiece. He can do nothing from you from there. He'll let you do that. He's not going to force himself into you. He's not going to suddenly make the matchbox go bright to say, "Ah, let me out, I'm your genie." No, he's not going to do that. How you treat God is how you let you treat him. But how you treat God is how you're going to reap as well. And sometimes the way you treat God is in what you say. In fact, all the time is what you say. You're either proving to the spiritual realm that actually you're God's child, or you're proving that you're not. Psalm 39, verse 1 to 5. I said, I will take heed of my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it. I may know how frail I. Behold, thou hast made my days a handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Well, guys, not sure if you're following with us in the handbook. It was the fifth verse. To make your key words about what the Lord's talking to you about on your left-hand side in the second column, and score yourself on the right. Remember, you cannot compare scores with anyone. Your keywords are not going to make sense to anybody because they were not in the conversation with the Holy Spirit that you were. So this is not something to leave lying around, because people are going to totally misinterpret it. Satan will give context to those words that you never intended. So it's not for others. It's for you. Sometime in the future, you can come back and listen to these again. You can see how far God moved you by looking at those keywords in that time and where it is now. Well, guys, God bless. And have an absolutely beautiful day.